Phil Hendry.
Well, good evening. Welcome to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We're here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. We are a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. But that's just the preliminary. That's just the disclaimer. We are a show in constant evolution, constant metamorphosis, and this is a radio show. What were you saying the other day, Bud?
Yeah, Bud, are we political anymore?
Sure we're political. Sure we are.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, sure we're political. It's just that we are political our own way. We're political with a small p instead of a capital P, and I don't know, you know, we're going to start talking about presidential politics as it relates to the things that we care about. Like, for instance, had there been a decree on soft drinks coming from the White House, that might have been, can you imagine, New York, by the way, I just heard that Mayor Bloomberg is not going to raise taxes given the difficulty people are having with Hurricane Sandy, so that's cool of him. And I'm not even a guy against taxes. I think that taxes are probably necessary. I don't know, you know.
What are you talking about?
Taxes are necessary, man. You got to have taxes.
Yeah, but there's, what do you mean? You got, that's very dangerous territory.
Oh, God, here we go. Do you understand what he's saying?
Let me do it, okay? Hey, Bud, you see these roads out here and all that stuff?
No, I know about a road. I know about that, that they got to build that.
Yeah, what else do you think is, everything else is built by who?
Well, we do.
Yes, we do, with our taxes. With our taxes.
Government can't do anything right. Everybody know that.
Oh, the government can't do it. Have you ever heard of the moon landing?
Oh, hold on. Maybe the government can't do a lot of things right. You're absolutely right, Robert. The government cannot do a lot of things right. The government butchers a lot of stuff up. But every now and again, the government gets things right, like wars. Let's call that. Do you want to rely on private enterprise for winning a war? Would you like to say, well, there's a war now. We're taking bids from whoever and whatever. And let's see what we get, huh?
What do you mean? They couldn't do that.
You sure they could? They could contract with a bunch of mercenaries. It depends. And I'll tell you something. It's getting that way.
Oh, you've got to be. You're high on a mixture of mushrooms. My God.
No. How do you figure? Listen to me, Margaret. The way that wars are being fought now, and I say this, I'm not trying to be. I'm not trying to be cavalier, and I'm not. I'm not just chit-chatting here as if it's gossip time. I'm saying. Just this amateur, this civilian here, looking at the picture, looking at the big picture of the military and what the military does. The way that wars are being fought now, the way you hear the military experts talk about it, it's all getting smaller. By that, I don't mean that the wars are going to be less deadly, but there are fewer soldiers and there's more technology. Now, I know that that can be dangerous because that's exactly what happened during the Carter era on up to 9/11 with our intelligence community. We went, we went with fewer soldiers, more or less, and more technology. We had fewer and fewer people, as they say, on the ground, boots on the ground, you know.
What's that mean, anyway, boots on the ground? When people have their ear down on the ground.
No, it's not their ear on the ground. Boots on the ground is a figment of your, not figment of your imagination, it's a figment of your speech.
No, it's a figure of speech.
Well, what's a figment?
An imaginary thing.
I don't.
Anyway, boots on the ground represents just people that are actual human beings that are there. So during the years between the Carter administration, and I'm blaming President Carter mostly because it began the disassembling, if you will, of the CIA and all of the nasty stuff that the CIA knew how to do, like kill people and, start revolutions. All of that stuff sort of got de-escalated. And it became more of a technologic thing. Lots and lots of spy satellites, lots and lots of bugging, lots and lots of bugging of embassies, and this kind of nonsense. Screwing around with fax machines. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean screwing around with fax machines?
Well, what they did was, I saw a thing here recently where the United States, we did this to the Russian embassy. And that's the kind of fun thing that happens, you know, with espionage and counterintelligence and intelligence. The American people say they want to know, and we are a democratic people, and ultimately, if we want to know something, we're going to know it. That's just our... I don't think we understand the power we have. Americans think that they're so out of control. There's just nothing we can do. No.
Yeah, but the government want to keep it from you. They can.
No. If we want to find out something, we will, okay? And I personally, I think there ain't a whole hell of a lot we don't know. people make me laugh, and you've heard other people say this, you know, talking about America keeping secrets, like where are the UFO men hidden? Where are the Martians hidden? We couldn't keep a secret for love or money around here. Are you crazy? Every time you turn around, there's some guy. Look at this guy, this some little midget from the Army, this little Bradley Cooper twerp. This jackball is pumping out all kinds of stuff to everybody. He's sending out stuff to that, what's his name, that Assange?
What are you talking about? Talk about that. Yeah, that's the WikiLeaks guy.
Oh, that guy. You know, he's interesting. I think he's very fascinating as a man, you know.
As a man.
I think any woman is fascinated by a man that takes those kinds of risks.
Have you seen a guy? He's about 5'2", you know, eyes of blue. Right.
5'2", eyes of blue.
But there was a song about that.
Has anybody seen my gal? That's the song.
Is that about him? No, you jackass, a song about a girl. Well, what, you all into guys now or something?
No.
Oh, will you shut up? 5'2", eyes of blue. This guy is a private in the U.S. Army, some jive-ass kid that got his hands on tons and tons, reams and reams of stuff, and started spitting it out to this guy at WikiLeaks, and the next thing you know, it's all over the planet Earth. Thank God there wasn't anything of any substance. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that want you to believe that there was. The bottom line on all of this was that the government of the United States, the American people themselves, their State Department, their government, the documents that are being used by their government, the secrets that we all have as a society, these things are being spilled out there. And I can't believe people are just nefarious in the way that they deal with these things. People were saying things like, oh, so Obama's keeping secrets, huh? Obama? Look, he's the president of the United States. What are you going to say if Obama doesn't enforce the law?
What do you mean?
I'm saying that when Obama went after this guy, Bradley Manning, as well he should, as the state, as the attorney general did, as well he should, as the law enforcement arm of the government did, as well it should, you got these dumbasses out there saying that Obama was some kind of a backstabber to the progressive cause. So what you're asking now is for Obama to do what Nixon did, which is basically just break the law in the interest of politics. Is that it? How stupid can you be? I don't even think these people think these things through. They think that, oh, well, he can prosecute what he wants. No, he cannot prosecute what he can't prosecute what he wants and stay president of the United States. He can't prosecute what he wants and stay out of jail.
Yeah, but Nixon did.
Nixon did. Nixon got a pardon from Gerald Ford. You're right. He got pardoned. It was a call that Gerald Ford made. A lot of people agreed with it, and I got news for you. A lot of people didn't agree with it, but guess what? At the end of the day, it didn't much matter to anybody. They just wanted Nixon's ass out of there, and it was fine. If anybody had a real sweat with that presidential pardon, man, they would have made a huge stink about it. But Nixon had his ass kicked up one side and down the next. Don't worry about it. Now you come along with Obama, and he's supposed to do what? He's supposed to say, yeah, all you fine progressive folks out there, anti-military industrial establishment types, you're right, this is so fantastic. Julian Assange or Assange or whatever his name is, I could care less. And I always love it when people give me an email later on.
Well, you should pronounce the man's name right. I think it's a little bit of an insult, Phil. What if they called you Mr. Hendry or something like that?
I guess sooner or later they're going to correct it. You know, I'm not going to. You think I'm going to write the guy a letter?
Yeah, well,
will you quit hitting the microphone, bud?
Yeah, you wouldn't write him a letter and say, excuse me, my name is pronounced like this?
Like I ain't got bigger fish to fry at that particular time.
What's that mean, bigger fish to fry?
Like I got better things to do than worry about how some guy is pronouncing my name. So anyway, the bottom line is this. The military is smaller, and the military is using more technology, and the military is more, they're all about pinpointing and taking out certain key installations, certain key areas of government and military control. It isn't about just wiping out tons and tons of men. It's about destroying the assets of a country's military, yes. And more those assets are not men. They are airplanes, tanks, you know, means of communication, means of transportation, etc., food, and so forth. And you can probably do that with a mercenary army of 10,000 or 20,000.
My God Almighty. So you're saying that America has in the future to depend on the dogs of war.
What do you mean?
You've never heard Shakespeare.
Oh, come on, Mark.
Hold on now. Have you ever heard Shakespeare, bud? Well, I know the answer to that.
Wait, Shakespeare? Yeah, I have. To be or not to be.
Good, good boy. The dogs of war. The line, I believe, is, let fly the dogs of war, isn't it, Phil?
No, I don't know, but I know it's not that.
Oh, well, okay, Sir Laurence Olivier.
Well, Margaret, if you're going to say it and then you don't know it, I think it's something like let loose the dogs of... cry havoc and let loose the dogs of war.
Yes, I was just about to say that.
No, you weren't. Mr. Henry said it.
He doesn't know Shakespeare from a... he doesn't know Shakespeare from a skid mark. And
thank you very much, Margaret. We're going to take a break here. Are you going to have to go to the toilet?
Oh, my God, what are you nervous about? Are you going to... no, I don't have to go to the toilet.
Hi, I'm Phil Henry. I don't know Shakespeare from a skid mark. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. News coming up on a horrific incident in Wyoming. We also have the results of that, well, just for me. I'm just going to read out loud something that only interests me, the UCLA-Stanford game. We'll be right, and Rihanna apparently has a big rock and showed up bottomless someplace. My house. I'm joking. Well, if, no, I'm serious. We'll be right back, Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our
that,
bitch.
What did that mean?
The Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry? That's bitching.
What did all of that mean?
Welcome back here on Friday night on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, but just, you know, the world continues. Here is a story of a man wielding a sharp-edged weapon, killing a woman in a Casper neighborhood before slaying a male teacher and taking his own life in front of students in a community college classroom. It caused a campus-wide lockdown as authorities tried to piece together what happened. He killed this guy with a knife, I guess, in front of his, in front of this man's students. Police found the suspect and teacher found the suspect and the teacher dead at a science building on the Casper College campus, which was locked down for about 2 hours, according to police and school officials. The other victim was found in a street 2 miles away. This was a woman that was killed. And then 2 miles later, into this college campus goes this individual and kills this teacher. Police Chief Chris Walsh said investigators were still trying to determine a motive. The attacker wasn't believed to be a Casper College student. It appeared he knew the victims. No names were released. Walsh said an edged weapon was used in at least one of the killings, but it was unclear if the same weapon was used in all the deaths. The attack at the two-year community college in Casper, about 250 miles northwest of Denver, occurred before 9 a.m. in a class with students present on the science building's third floor.
What is the point of reading this? That's what I want to know.
Just got to talk about a news.
It's. I'll tell you why I'm reading it. It isn't just because it's news, because it's not even really news anymore. It's not news. There's no defining what news is. What's important and what is interesting. That's what. And I really highly doubt that this stuff is all that fascinating to people because it's become so commonplace that we now take it as a matter of daily life. That there is happiness, there is sadness, there are children, there are families, there's school, there's love. There's all kind, and then there's also random violence, killing, and mayhem. So that's a part now, it would seem, not of normal life, but of what we think is normal life.
What's that supposed to mean?
Oh, here we go. Why don't you speak English? What do you mean, what we think is normal life?
Margaret, there's the way it is, and then there's the way we think it is, okay?
Yeah, there's the way it is, the way I want it to be, too.
What has that got to do with anything?
Yeah.
What did that mean?
My dad used to say it. There's the way it is and the way that I want it.
That's him telling you to clean your room up or something, man. That's not what I'm talking about here.
There's the my way and then a highway.
Yeah, my dad said that too.
Oh, well, isn't that just nice? My way or the highway. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about the way life is and the way we think it is. There is a certain reality, and then there's the reality that we live in, and we think that's the reality, and that's the problem with the human race. That's the problem with each and every one of us. We got what is, and we have what we think is, and generally, not always, generally, what we think is not what the way it is, and that's where we get into trouble.
Well, now, what, for instance, how does that apply to this?
Well, this is a... what I'm trying to tell you is this.
What are those students in that classroom supposed to think?
This is not... listen to me. Is the reality that there is mayhem, violence, death, and destruction on every corner? No. Is the reality is that there is a guy stabbing and killing somebody on every block, every minute of the day? No. What is the reality? The reality is most likely something along these lines, that several instances across the United States, just take our country, for example, during each day, there are several instances of someone violently attacking another human being. Several, if not, I would put it into, I don't know how many. It depends on what you call a violent attack, you know.
Probably millions.
Yeah, you got to say there's millions.
What do you mean millions? What do you mean millions? There's 200 and 300 million people in the United States, 350 million people in the United States.
How many? You just went from 250 to 350. That changes the odds.
No, will you just give me a break here? How many times a day? Millions? No, we don't have millions of our people going nuts. We've got probably in this country, I would say, all right, I'll top it out at 1,000. Maybe 1,000 times a day, someone violently attacks another human being. And I'm not talking about a schoolyard fight. I mean a all-out, life-threatening attack. It could be with fists. It could be with knives. Maybe it's with guns. Beyond the scope of cops or military, I'm talking about just private citizens engaging each other violently in what could be a life and death struggle. Probably close to maybe per day in America, 1,000 instances of that. And they're handled by the local police, and the person is arrested or not. Sometimes they never know what the hell happened. Guy just walks around, you know, he's all bloody, and he tells the cops, and the cops will look for him, and they can't find him, whatever. Or both parties separate, and nobody is reporting it.
What about if they kill each other?
I'm not talking about murder. I'm not talking about murder. I'm talking about just how many times during the course of a day people violently engage each other in just America, just this country, that could wind up in death. And I'm saying that maybe 1,000 tops. That's hardly what I would call the reality norm. I still say that that's an aberration. In the lifetimes of millions of people, 1,000 a day is very rare. And yet, those make their way into the newspaper more readily than anything else. People have always bitched about this. They always said, how come there's no good news? Why is there only the bad?
Well, Phil, I've worked in journalism, and I know how important these stories are. You take a knife, and you slash, or you do what you do with a knife, and I'm going to put that on the front page.
What about a guy carving a turkey? Yeah, give me five. Yeah.
Get out of here, will you, with the five?
I'm not talking about carving a turkey, you dumb boy. I'm talking about what Phil said, violently attacking another person.
And you're going to put that on the front page if it's like a knife fight outside of a bar somewhere where no one dies? It's just...
I think it's shocking.
It's shocking to you, it's shocking to me. But what's the reality? That's what I'm trying to get to here. If I saw a knife fight, I would be, you know, wow. But is that the daily norm? Is that what I see every day in my life? No, that would be an aberration. That's an aberration for most people. So when we see a story like this, what's the first thing we think? We don't think it's an aberration. We think, oh my God, look at what's happening to our country. My God, on every street corner, there's someone with a knife. See?
Not really, but I know probably most people understand what you're saying, but I don't.
Yeah, me neither.
I don't get it either.
All right, great, perfect. Then I'm doing my job. The attack at the two-year community college about 250 miles northwest of Denver occurred at 9 a.m. The college sent out a campus-wide alert. Political science instructor Chris Heinrichsen said he was showing the film Frost Nixon to his Wyoming and U.S. government class when he stepped into the hall to get something for a student and was told a homicide had occurred on campus. He went back into the classroom where students were getting messages about the campus lockdown on their phones. We locked the door and waited for further instruction, Heinrichsen said. I wonder if that's a good idea after what happened at Columbine. Well, I shouldn't second guess. Wouldn't you want to just, like, in a mad stampede, run?
No, that is what they don't want you to do.
Yeah, you don't want to be crazy.
Well, no, I know, but wouldn't you want to? In other words, if I'm standing there in the classroom and a homicide is committed on campus and they're going to lock me in, I think I'd just start to wet myself. I'd probably...
I'm sure. What are you going to do? Start to cry and everything?
Yeah, you'd probably go, help.
Well, I'm being honest. I'm not going to cry, but I'd probably say, let me take my chances running outside into the wide open spaces. If there is a sniper out there and sees me and he drops me, oh well, but...
Phil, you're a rare bird. You make a lot of sense some days, and other days,
I'm an idiot.
Yes, like today.
All right, well, today's one of those idiot days, folks. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
What a jackpot. Get him going out and doing that. Okay.
Phil Henry.
Don't demand to see anything. What are you talking about, you demand to see?
I want to see what you... Let me have...
Excuse me, Margaret. I'll show it to the audience if you want me to, but don't say...
I don't like... Secretive actions bother me. I don't like this whole furtive thing.
I posterized a picture of a friend's dog. I took it... I've got an app. I really have this great app on my iPhone. It's called Photogene, and you can do a lot of different things with the photo. And what I did was I posterized it. And it's a picture of my friend's dog. As a matter of fact, I got it on the homepage. You got to steal my phone. You can look at it on the homepage.
Yeah, we do. I'm grabbing his phone, but look on the homepage.
Would you get near a microphone, you...
Bud, she's right. Here, I'll show it to everybody at home who may be watching, or actually people that are maybe watching on Phil TV. But basically what I did was I took just a picture of the dog and I posterized it and sent it back. There he is. His name's Toby. And the actual photograph...
Oh, isn't he adorable? Is that a Shih Tzu?
It is.
You said a dirty word.
No, she did not. That's the name of the dog. Okay? I don't want you saying it, because I know what you're going to do with it.
What did the dog call him?
Yeah, tell him again what the dog's called.
Okay, then I'm not going to say it.
It's a Shih Tzu. It's a Chinese dog.
Bud, I'm going to belt you so hard, man, you'll never wake up. They're actually... These dogs are among the oldest... domesticated dogs. In fact, this breed is the single oldest domesticated breed on Earth. It really is. It was one of the oldest domesticated. The Shih Tzu is very closely related, as small as it is, and as non-wolf-like as it looks. It is very closely related to the wolf, which was the original dog, the a female wolf. And the Shih Tzu was bred for no other reason than to simply keep the empress... and the royalty of China company. He had no purpose. And yet today, if you see these little dogs, I like them. I mean, they're little tiny. And this guy here, Toby, he's a tiny guy. He's only a year old, but he's still like he's a little tiny puppy. But these dogs react kind of the way Chihuahua, they've got a better disposition. I shouldn't say better disposition, but they've got a domestic kind of quality. You know, Chihuahuas were bred to kill vermin and to kill rats, to do stuff that you couldn't get a cat to do, because the dog will do it, because the dog is like a good worker, and a cat is a lazy slob, and, you know.
Yeah, a cat only work when it feels like working, and then and only then, if you give it a fat fish.
Yeah, cats are always looking to get paid first.
There you go. Cats are like the average worker that wants to get paid before they do the job, yeah? You want me to get a rat? Well, let's see it, baby. Let's see the fish.
I don't know. I think cats are far more reliable at trapping vermin than dogs. Dogs always want to be petted, and, you know.
Well, in any, I don't want to get into a whole conversation about this. Anyway, the Shih Tzu is it's a great dog. They are good at that kind of, you know, keeping, you know, track of all kinds of crazy crap that comes in the house. And, you know, anyway, that's what I did. Grab the phone from me.
Well, you're doing all of this secret stuff.
I ain't doing anything secret. 877-876-7445 here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to go to Robert Green, who is the owner and operator of Fraser Foods, of course, in Buena Park, California. Now, the interesting, I think, conversation that has just been spawned here has to do, Bob, with the idea of guns and, you know, once again, guns and toy guns and how we react.
You know, Phil, I don't think it's so much toy guns as I think it is the reaction of guns. Should we have guns? Should we not have guns? This conversation is constantly had in our society. When you own a store, when you own a business that the public comes into all the time, you're certainly mindful of the security of the people in your store.
Okay, but as we were talking about this Wyoming story, off the air we started talking about, once again, the conversation that is going to be had about guns.
Yeah, and this is a conversation that is ongoing in our country, and it seems that the solution among some parents is just to never, ever even bring up the subject of guns. Don't have any guns in the house. Don't allow any member of the family to get comfortable with guns, and the problem will somehow solve itself. And I don't think that that's the I don't think that's an intelligent way of doing things. As the owner of a grocery store, one of the things that I see a lot of are little kids coming into the store with their parents, and they have their toys. And I see this every day. I see children with their mothers. They have a car, or they have a toy of some kind. And a lot of times they'll have these guns.
Now, who are the mothers that don't want the guns?
Well, we have a younger generation of mother now. I don't know what you want to call them, the Generation X mom or younger baby boomer moms. I don't know. But these mothers believe that the best way to wean our society, or at least the best way to protect their children and have their children be constructive and contributing members of society, is to not let their kids anywhere near a gun, do not acknowledge the existence of guns, and certainly do not give them any gun training. I think it's dangerous, and I think it starts early.
All right, so you are opposed to that point of view, and I would be too. I think that guns are a tool, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly. They're a tool like any other tool. They can be used for good, they can be used for bad, but there's an opportunity here. When we see, for instance, what I see, and I think there are a lot of business owners and shop owners across this country have this opportunity. When I see a mother or a child come into our store and the little boy has a gun, a plastic gun, and sometimes you see that, and what the little boy is often doing is he's aiming at people and going, pow, 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 as a little kid will do. You know, like anybody, I think it used to unnerve me a little bit to have a kid no older than 3 or 4 pointing a weapon at me. But in recent years, I've grown to understand that this can be an educational moment for society, not just for the child. Because what that child is doing, a little 4 or 5-year-old boy with a gun, is he is showing the people around him what it might look like to just have a weapon randomly pointed at you, and what is going to be your reaction. And from my part, I've practiced what my reaction will be because I think it's good for the kid. So that if you have a child that is pointing a gun randomly in a store, even though it's a plastic gun, and even though it's a toy gun, someday that child may be holding the real thing, and he may be in a situation where he is no longer able to cope with life, that he has reached the end of his rope, that he's walked into a market, maybe my market, and he's no longer with his mother, he's 20 years older, and that gun's loaded, and it's real. So that kid has to be taught now.
So you're talking about a little boy with a toy gun. What if he grows up and becomes a real spree killer?
I'm talking not only about what if he grows up and becomes a real spree killer, but even if he doesn't, what would you do? What would be your reaction to some punk, and I don't mean the little kid's a punk, but that kid grows up to become a man. And in some instances, he may grow up to become that lousy punk that has a gun. I don't know. I wouldn't want to judge. But what do I do? And what I do in my store is when I see a little boy point a gun at me and go, bang, bang, I make the finger guns, as we do. We turn our hands into 2 finger guns, 2 guns, and I go pow, 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 as if I've got a...
Like you got a 2-gun rig or something.
Yeah, a 2-gun holster. And I shoot back at him going pow, 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 pow. The mother sees this, and it looks like I'm playing. But as I walk by that boy, and this is very important, as I walk by that boy, I will lean down and whisper to him, you are a dead man. Now, I know that that sounds like a very harsh...
That you know, it does.
My God, you're talking to a little boy, Bob.
No, I know I'm talking to a little boy. And I've only said 2 things. I've said 3 words. I've said, you're a dead man. And that's all I say. What have I just done? I've shown the little boy that I will shoot back. and I will shoot until he's dead. So that if he ever gets the bright idea later on in his life that he's going to walk into a store and start firing at people, he may be fired back upon, and he's a dead man.
Now, let me ask you something. You're not a sociologist or anything.
No, I'm not, Phil. I'm just a businessman.
All right. You're not a sociologist. You're not a cop or anything. You're not a psychologist. What do you base your beliefs on
let me tell you.
Well, hold on. So I can roll this back out for the audience. That if a little boy, a little kid that we've seen millions of times with his little toy plastic gun comes into the store and he's aiming and he's shooting at people. You often see little boys, they have two hands on the gun.
Oh, they're very small, and to them it's just a toy.
Yeah. You see this as a potentially bad bit of training.
Yeah, I see that as a piece of bad behavior, unless you are able to counter it with something.
So even if it's a little boy with this toy gun, you think that has to be counteracted?
I believe so. Because, again, in his mind, look at this, a gun. I can just shoot it anywhere I want. And anybody I want, at anybody I want, and nothing happens. Well, I'm there as a store owner, and I think we all should do this. You know, you fire back at the kid in a playful way. In my way, I bring out two guns because I want the kid to know that at the end of the day, he's not walking out of my store. I mean, there'll be a corner walking in. There'll be a body bag going in. There might even be a puddle of blood, but he's on the 5 o'clock news as just two legs and a pair of shoes coming out from behind.
I don't like this.
You know, Bob.
No. He's on the nightly news as just two shoes and two legs sticking out from behind a counter. And there's yellow police tape. Now that's how much fun it is, kid.
But that little boy is not going to be able to think of that, okay?
That's my point. You're teaching a very adult lesson to a child.
You know what? There's an old saying, Miss Gray. I don't care if he did it, he got it.
Well, that's not an old saying. That's something from my childhood that I brought on the show one day.
Well, that might have been where I heard it, but I like it. I don't care if he did it, he got it.
All right, we're going to come back with Robert Green, our number 877-876-PHIL, as we talk about the random violence, gun violence in our society. Is it all about getting rid of the guns, or is it about retraining the thought process, not just of the young person, but of the people around? How do you react when you see a little boy with a toy gun pointed at you and go bang, bang, bang? Do you shoot back with your fingers? Bob Green says that's exactly what you should do. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Don't do it the way I do it.
What do you mean?
Well, don't copy my two-gun rig. I mean, do your own.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show, talking here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Fraser Foods is a large grocery chain, I should let people know, in the Southwest. And you guys have been around for a while, Bob, huh?
1982.
We're talking about this situation in Wyoming, in Casper, Wyoming, where a man with a knife, he had a knife, it wasn't a gun, does that matter?
I don't think it matters. I think what we're talking about is this random violence that does occur.
And can I say something, Phil?
Go ahead.
I think you pointed out that it's a knife, and I think that that's wrong because, I don't think it's wrong, but I think you're taking, as Bob just said, the goal for many of us, and it may not be your goal, Phil, and it might not be your goal, Bob, is to get rid of guns. And so you bringing up the fact that this man used a knife, I think, is unfair. It hurts our ability to spread the word on guns.
Well, wait a minute. I mean, don't you want me to report this the right way?
I want you to report it. I just think you need to keep it about guns.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. What I want to say is this. I believe in guns.
I do not believe in guns.
Okay. You both want to talk about guns. One of you supports them. The other one doesn't.
Phil, I support gun ownership.
No, I know that, Mr. Green. I do not.
Hold on, hold on. One of you supports it, one of you doesn't. But the case that we're talking about here in Wyoming doesn't have anything to do with guns. It has to do with knives.
There you go again.
Yeah, Phil, I think you need to keep the focus on guns for the purposes of why I came on the show, and I guess for the purposes of what your co-panelist here, Ms. Gray, what she wants to talk about. So let's forget about the guy using a knife, because it doesn't do me any good. It's not doing her any good, not that I care.
Well, thank you very much. That's a little rude.
Well, I don't really care whether it does you any good, but it's not doing me any good.
Wait a minute. This is bizarre. You know, a lot of the anti-gun people point to gun violence. This was not gun violence. It was knife violence. All right? And it was two people were killed with this knife. So shouldn't we be talking about getting rid of knives?
Well, we should not be talking about getting rid of knives, because that's not why I came on your show.
Yes, but he is the host of the show. But I agree with you, Bob, in this instance, that we should not be talking about knives. We should be talking about guns.
Margaret, you want to talk about guns, even if it was a slingshot, because it's all about guns.
Yeah, it's all about guns for me, too.
Well, what if we're... This has got... Never mind. Let's get back to it, you know.
Phil, you agreed to have Mr. Green on the program.
Yeah, that's true, Mr. Green. You said to have him on. You knew about guns.
You did know it was going to be about guns, Phil. You doing a flip-flop now. See, this is what the politicians do. They do the flippity-flop. You know about that, Phil? How do you do a flip-flop?
Yeah, I know about the flip-flop. God, big deal.
Well... Yeah, that's if you know about it, why are you doing it?
Yeah, so they talk about politician flip-flop.
I agree. I think it is not... You don't want to do the flip-flop.
And you guys knock it off with the flip-flop. I'm not doing any flip-flop. I'm talking about, with Bob Green, gun violence. Okay, Bob, so now what you've done is you have fired back at the kid. Okay, Margaret, do you mind if Margaret gets in on this, or...
What does this turn into, some kind of a debate? My understanding was I was going to be on the program, and I was going to talk about this the way I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, but you got to debate the people.
I just heard something in the background. It sounded like a pipe, water going through a pipe.
That's Bud Dickman.
That wasn't water going through a pipe. It was Bud Dickman.
That's a guy on the radio, sir. You have to answer all the questions and be... And
yeah, I'd like you to answer my questions.
All right. What question do you want me to answer?
I don't believe in guns. You do. You believe that gun ownership will become more responsible as we teach children the consequences of being criminals.
Random criminals?
You mean criminals?
I'm sorry, yes, criminals.
Yes, I believe that if a little boy in a supermarket has the audacity to point, even if it's a toy gun, to point a toy gun at me and go bang, bang, like it's no big thing shooting a human being, then I believe the way to react to that is to use your fingers as two finger guns, as if you pulled them out of a two-gun rig, as Phil just said. And for those of you that don't know what a two-gun rig is, it is the holster with two holsters.
Yeah, they used it on a Wild West show and stuff.
Well, they're not on the Wild West. I mean, they used to do it in the days of the West. I don't know. I forget the guy, Wyatt Burp. That's not his name, is it?
Wyatt Earp.
Correct, Wyatt Earp. And I know that a lot of that stuff is phony.
Yeah, a lot of that is legend. Could you get to the point?
I am getting to the point, ma'am, if you don't mind. I am getting to the point. So you fire back at the little boy with the two-gun rig, is what I'm saying.
And the effect on this little boy is what?
After, you got to hold on for a minute, Phil. You fire on the kid, you go bang, 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 and then you walk by the kid, and you want to make sure the mother doesn't hear this. And the reason is very simple. She will not understand the psychological impact. You simply walk by the kid and you say, you're a dead man. Now, what are you trying to hurt that kid? No. You are trying to send a message to that kid that if he pulls a gun on you, then he's going out of that store, out of that candy store, out of that toy, wherever. He's going out feet first.
I think that is...
Bob, you're talking about a little boy.
Would you... I really wish you would listen to me. I'm not talking about a little boy now. I'm putting into his mind the psychological seed, the informational seed, the introject, if you will, of what he should be thinking as an adult.
Well, you said he's going out of that toy store, out of that candy store.
Because now he's a little boy, but you want him to think. geez, if I ever did this for real, with a real gun, I'm going out feet first in all areas. The last thing I see is a whole lot of yellow tape.
Again, I don't know if that's the way to deal with a child. I think I'm a mother, Mr. Green.
Well, I've been a father, and I had two small children, and I know that a lot of things scare a child, but a lot of things can be put into perspective for a child.
How did you teach your kids about guns?
Well, we had weapons in the house, Phil, and we had a lot of weapons in the house, and I was in the National Guard. I was not Army or anything like that, but I did do my duty in the National Guard, and we had long guns and we had handguns. We had 22s, I had a 38, and I took my kids out to the range, and we fired those weapons at night when the range was closed. We'd go out in the woods somewhere, and you know, we do things like shoot at bags of laundry and bottles full of bleach.
What are you talking about?
What are you saying?
Oh, never mind. You don't understand how gun. You don't know the world. You don't know my world of guns. You may know the world of guns, but not the one I live in.
And the last thing he sees is a whole lot of yellow tape.
You better believe it.
Robert Green on the world famous Phil Henry Show on teaching a kid gun safety. We'll be right back.
That sounds kind of fun, though, if you think about it.
What does?
Shoot at a bag of laundry.